Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back. We're talking with Dr. Gregory Martin about his book, Education for Knees, and everything you need to know for happy, healthy, and pain-free knees. Dr. Martin, you know, I had my knee injury was initially the result of a skiing accident, and then I had I played soccer for a number of years, and it just started to buckle, and then it just got so bad that I'd be standing at the gas station pumping gas in my car, and my knee would buckle. Or I was holding my kids, you know, one time, and my knee buckled, and I had to, you know, take all the weight because I didn't want to throw the child. So what happens when our knees buckle, and how serious is it at that point?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different things that can cause a knee to buckle. You know, if you have ligamentous instability, ligaments are like the tight rope-like structures that hold our bones together. And that's what, you know, the one that everyone knows is an ACL rupture from all the sports, you know, stars that get it. But certainly that by itself can cause our knee to buckle because the knee loses some of its stability. But other things that can cause the knee to buckle, too, if there's a torn piece of meniscus cartilage, which is flipped around, and that's a true mechanical problem, or if there's bone-on-bone arthritis, that can cause the knee to buckle, too. But the one thing that you can really do to help that is have good, strong muscles, particularly a good, strong quadriceps, because that can support your knee even if something's going on inside. And also the hamstrings. You know, if you have good, strong quadriceps and hamstring muscles, it can really do wonders for your knee. So I really encourage people to, you know, work with a doctor, a therapist, and come up with a good strengthening program if they're having knee problems.
Dr. Martin, you know, you mentioned earlier about how, you know, we get that pain transference from a hip issue or from other parts of the body if we're not lined up correctly or not doing something. How common is that, and at what point, how does somebody determine whether that pain is actually from their knee?
Right. Yeah, so it's interesting. It's fairly common because, you know, my practice is predominantly replacing hips and replacing knees. And I see a lot of people who come to me thinking they have a knee problem. And you actually need to replace their hip in order to solve their knee pain. So, you know, certainly, if you have a persistent or chronic pain, it should be evaluated by, you know, someone who's certainly a competent orthopedist or someone who can really sort out, because it's not always clear cut.
What is the success rate with knee replacements? I've had the reason I'm asking is because I have a neighbor who's had a couple knee replacements, and they both seem to have gone wrong.
Yeah. So, you know, as a knee surgeon, it's kind of what I really focus on is how do I make as many people who would need surgery as happy as possible? You know, because traditionally, we as doctors, we all like to think the success rate is really high, you know, in the 90%+ range. But at more and more as we veer towards patient-centered care from the patient's point of view, we're finding that the success rate is probably more in the 80-85% range for total knee replacement. So it's not as good as we would like it to be. You know, I don't think we'll ever get to 100, but we should certainly try to get as close there as possible. And that's why I think part of why I wrote this book is not only to help people potentially avoid surgery, but if you do need to have your knee done, what can you do to have a good outcome? And a lot of the same things, it's weight management, eating right, fitness, really understanding your conditions, because sometimes people have an unhappy and a poor outcome with knee replacement. They have other issues going on that need to be addressed. It could be a bad hip. It could be a bad back. You know, so all you can do is, you know, and what you're getting to the heart of is when is it time to pull the trigger and get knee replacement? You know, some people do it too soon, and I always say, well, try everything to avoid it. Get in good shape, strengthen your muscles, get the weight off, try the nutritional stuff I talk about, and see how you do. And you try medical treatments, injections, and if nothing else works, if your life starts to look scarier and you're more worried about what your life looks without surgery than it does with it, that's when you should get it. Because most people, especially most motivated people that take care of themselves, do have a good outcome with knee replacement. It's very time-tested and generally very successful surgery.
You talk about weight a number of times in the book, and what's the difference that, how much of a difference does 20 pounds overweight make on, you know, in terms of knee pain, knee injury, knee, you know, all those things, you know, that are around the knee? What, you know, if we're talking 20 pounds even?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's dramatic. I mean, I can tell you, I can't guarantee it, but it could be as much as the difference between having pain and not having pain. Because I've had numerous patients over the past couple of years either come back to me or even write me letters saying, hey, doc, I saw you once. I lost 30 pounds. I no longer have pain. I no longer need medication. So even though the knee is arthritic or may have a meniscal tear or something, taking that extra load off it, in a lot of cases, can dramatically relieve pain.
Which I guess is hard for people. I mean, if they have a knee pain, to start figuring out how they're going to lose that weight, what do you suggest? Like, what, you know, do they keep walking? Do they keep moving? What's the best way?
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing I always tell people is you should always separate weight loss and exercise. Okay, you exercise for health, to strengthen your muscles, to feel good, to be healthy. But in order to lose weight, you need to change the diet. And, you know, I think the two biggest issues are what we eat and how much we eat. So I encourage people to cut portions. You know, I like to call it my half-portion diet. If you want to lose weight, just start eating half what you used to. And just, you know, even if you have to, you know, substitute some healthy snacks between. But I think generally, as time has gone on, our portion sizes have increased incredibly. And the other thing I encourage people to do is eat more whole foods. You know, get back to basics. Eat fruits and vegetables and meats and fish and avoid all these processed things. I mean, as we move towards more of these processed foods, anything that says low fat or low carb, there's a price to pay for that. They're putting in some kind of fillers or artificial sweeteners and things like that. And you just don't want that stuff in your body. It's harmful. So cut out artificial stuff, eat more whole foods and smaller portions. And I think most people will find that the weight starts to come off.
You know, a few years ago, I actually tried that. And I moved from, you know, your big dinner plate and started using just a small, you know, whatever, toast plate or something for my meals. And it was amazing because really, you know, in going, just going to that smaller size, you think about every time you heap another load on that plate that you know, might've actually filled up your other plate before, your big plate. But, you know, if you got to do it twice, then you think about it more. So, you know, I think you're onto something
there.
Just wanted to ask you about, you mentioned glucosamine and turmeric. What kind of results have your patients had with those kind of natural products?
So, you know, I always like to say nothing helps everybody. So I advocate what's called a risk-managed approach, meaning, you know, start with the things that are safe and effective for some people and try them. And if they don't work, you can always go and try more risky things. So on the scale of things, I think, you know, these two supplements particularly are pretty safe. I've done a lot of research. I looked at all the studies, you know, and... You know, for most people, you know, you could take these things and try them and see if you get benefit from them. I always advocate speaking with your physician to see if there's any contraindications or anything that would lead you not to do it. But I think I've seen people have dramatic results, even people in my own family with glucosamine sulfate and turmeric. I see patients all week long that have positive results of this. And, you know, there's been some controversy. Some of the studies show it doesn't work, and some of the guidelines come out saying you shouldn't try these things. But I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of us in the medical community believe in it. I have patients that are veterinarians, and they swear by it, that it helps the animals. And, you know, the animals don't have a placebo effect. You know, so I think there's something real to it, but nothing helps everybody. But I think I tell people to try it for 2 to 3 months and then stop it and see how you feel. And if you feel like all of a sudden you get much worse after you stop it, then you know it's helping. You know, I think, you know, people rush to medication too often, too soon. You know, a lot of these drugs that we take, the anti-inflammatory drugs and the acetaminophen, these drugs are not safe for everybody. So, you know, always, even if they're sold over the counter, you should always discuss it with your physician. So.
Dr. Martin, you know, you're a surgeon, so obviously people come in for you at some point to, you know, to get their knees replaced. Maybe it's just, you know, because they were getting 70, 80 and they've done all those things and put off the surgery for a long time. But at some point, maybe they need to come in. What do people need to know about surgery and what? How do they need to prepare for it?
Yeah, so, you know, the most important thing when it's coming time to having surgery is, you know, make sure you find the right doctor to do it because, you know, not all doctors are created equal or have the same skill set when it comes to doing a particular procedure. So I talk about this in my book. You want to find someone who does, if it's a knee replacement, you want to find someone who does knee replacement regularly, meaning, you know, at least 20 to 50 a year or hopefully even more than that. And, you know, likewise for any other type of procedures you're going to get, it's definitely volume seems to correlate with outcomes. So the more you do it, the more the doctor does of something, the better they are at it. But I really like to focus in the book on what things you can do to help yourself. And if you go into surgery, you know, and you're 30 pounds overweight, you don't exercise, and you smoke or don't have proper nutrition, that's going to negatively affect your outcome and put you at increased risk for complications or even a bad outcome. So I really want people to realize that when you're going to have surgery, don't look at it as a magic fix for all of your problems. You got to look at the whole picture and do what you can to help yourself and then help your doctor do what he can do. And then you're much more likely to have a good outcome.
Dr. Martin, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been great having you. The book is called Education for Knees. It's available at Amazon, I believe.
It was on Amazon and also directly on my website, education4knees.com. And there's lots of information. I have links to all the research I did. And, you know, everything is on that website if you want to learn more.
So the website is education, the number four, and then knees.
Correct.com, yes.
Dr. Martin, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this week's show. I want to thank Ellen Wishart, our producer, and producers across the country that are making this show available to you, the listener. And thanks for listening, because without you, we wouldn't have a show. Have a great, healthy week.
Smoking is an addiction. An addiction that destructively rolls through your life like some great runaway train. Nothing seems to impede its mad rush to consume your every breath. But now, there's a natural way to help you get off this nicotine express. Buttout, an all-natural medicine approved as a quit smoking aid. Buttout fights nicotine addiction at the source, in the brain.
Visit buttitout.com for details.
Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Come out and celebrate Earth Day at the Reeps Compost Garden at 1950 Gore Street on April 22nd from 10 until 2. Plenty of events for the entire family, a lot of different workshops as well. High Tea for Hospice, a fashion show fundraiser, will be held May 1st at the Kinsman Community Complex at 777 Kinsman Place starting at 1 p.m. It's a tea party event with a fashion show with spring fashions from Curvy Queen, Butterfly Boutique, and Park Avenue Apparel. The Saturday morning Al-Anon family group meets at 10:30 at First Baptist Church, 483 Gillette Street, offering understanding and support to families and friends of problem drinking.
You've been listening to Health First on 93.1 CFIS-FM, heard Monday afternoons at 1. Your host, Dave Fuller, is a chartered herbalist and co-owner of Ava Maria Gifts and Health Foods and Mother Maria's Market. For a rebroadcast of programs, visit www.avamariahealth.com.